Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, Melissa Odin is an American woman in her late 30s, and when you look at her, you wouldn't really think there was anything particularly unusual about her. But she has a story to tell. It's one of those stories which inspires you, but it's also really shocking at the same time, because she's a survivor of an attempted abortion, and she's only alive today thanks to the intervention of two nurses who refused to leave her to die. She was in Ireland recently, and during our pledge drive she was here, so Steve Johnson got to talk to her, and Steve is with me now in studio to tell me a little bit about his chat with Melissa Odin. Well, Steve, thanks a million for coming into studio. What was it like to talk to Melissa?
It was really amazing, very interesting, a very articulate woman, very positive about life and about God's purpose for her life. I was just thinking that a couple of months ago, I did an interview with a man, Dave Hughes, who had survived an attempt on his life, which was the Brussels airport terrorist attack. And here I was talking to another person who had survived an attempt on her life, obviously in a very different circumstance. I also found the interview upsetting, and you know, having children myself, having been present at the birth of a baby, and difficult to put questions to her about a story that must be deeply painful for her. But I was very impressed. She was clearly to come to terms with the fact that she needs to tell her story, and she's happy to tell her story so that people are aware of what has happened to her and many others like her. I started just by asking her, Melissa, to tell us about herself and the beginning of her life.
It was about 39 years ago in the United States that my biological mother, as a 19-year-old college student, was forced to undergo a saline infusion abortion. That procedure was a common one back in the 1970s and involved injecting a toxic salt solution into the amniotic fluid surrounding the preborn child in the womb. And the intent of that toxic salt solution was to scald the child to death slowly from the outside in. And then within usually the first 72 hours, then premature labor would be induced with the intent of that deceased child being delivered. So here this procedure was forced upon my birth mother, and I soaked in that toxic salt solution. But I didn't soak in it for 3 days. I actually soaked in it, for some unknown reason, for 5. And over those 5 days, the abortionist tried numerous times to induce my birth mother's labor with me. But they didn't succeed until that 5th day. And so there on the 5th day of the abortion procedure, I was delivered at a hospital, believing that I would be a successful abortion, a deceased child. But lo and behold, I was born alive. So in recent years, what I've actually learned is that that abortion was forced upon my biological mother by her own mother. My maternal grandmother was a prominent nurse in that community, and with the help of the abortionist, forced that abortion upon her. And not only did she force that abortion, but she was actually the one who delivered me in the final step of the abortion procedure. And sadly, you know, when she looked upon my live birth, she demanded that I be left there to die at the hospital. And we know what happened to children like me at that hospital. There was actually a utility closet where children like me who would survive abortions would be placed in buckets of formaldehyde until they died, and then they would later be picked up as medical waste. In my circumstances, even though she demanded that I be left to die, and my medical records reflect, you know, that within minutes my life was very much in danger, I was doing worse, so we can gather that she did leave me for a period of time to die. Nurses fought, two of them, for medical care to be provided to me. And gratefully, that's why people would never know by looking at me today that I survived what I did. When I was delivered, I weighed less than 3 pounds. I was 2 pounds, 14 ounces, and suffered from severe respiratory and liver problems. I suffered from seizures for an extended period of time. I required multiple blood transfusions. And really, the doctors didn't believe I would continue to live for very long. And if I did live, I would suffer from multiple disabilities throughout my life. But, you know, I have actually surpassed any expectations the doctors had for me, and I'm perfectly healthy today.
Melissa, when did you find out your medical history?
Yeah, I grew up in a home knowing that I was adopted. My adoptive parents came into my life when I was still being cared for in a neonatal intensive care unit. So I knew growing up I was adopted, but I didn't find out the truth of my survival until I was 14. And it was incredibly devastating to me. You know, even though I knew that there was a purpose for my life, I lived many, many years with great pain over what was done to me.
Can you talk a bit about how you came to terms with that, or the process of grieving you went through?
really is a process of grieving. I am the first person to admit that when I first found out the story of my survival, I was angry because I couldn't understand how anybody could make that decision about my life. But, you know, that is kind of part of that grieving process, is to work through anger. And I didn't stay angry for very long because really the Holy Spirit moved in a powerful way in my life to remind me that I have nothing to be angry about. And it's so true. You know, I think I'm one of the most blessed people in the world to have survived such a thing and to have the gift of health in my wonderful family and be given a pretty huge mission by God. But you do have to work through that. You know, I'm the first person to admit that I made a lot of mistakes when I was suffering. You know, I suffered with an eating disorder and I struggled with alcohol abuse because I was hurting so much and I just simply wanted to avoid my pain. But, you know, I always like to say Jesus saved me from myself and truly did, and really made it clear that I could move on with my life and do good, and really that I needed to find my biological parents to offer them love and forgiveness no matter what decision was made about my life.
Were you a person of faith when you received the news?
I was a person of faith when I heard the news about my life. You know, I was actually raised in a home. My parents were Methodist and taught me about Jesus from my youngest age. So I knew, you know, I knew when I heard the story about my life that obviously God had a plan for me. But I often like to say, you know, I think it's hard to embrace our purpose in the midst of our pain. And so I think that's where I found myself at the time. But it is my faith that sustains me through all of this.
Do you know, Melissa, other people who've survived abortions who've had stories like your own?
There are lots of people who survive abortions that the public probably would never know about. And that's part of the work that I do. I founded the Abortion Survivors Network about 4 years ago. And our purpose is really twofold: to educate the public about survivors like me and the impact of abortion, but to also provide support to other survivors. I spent many years of my life believing that I must be the only one, and it was a very lonely place to be in. And what I found over the years is that the more I traveled and the more I spoke, I would hear from other survivors. And so at this point in time, I've heard from 209 other survivors, two from the UK. And most of us, if you passed us on the street, you would never guess that we have survived what we did in our lives. So many survivors go on, like me, to live, quote unquote, you know, perfectly normal lives. But I also know of survivors who, you know, have long-term health complications, some who are missing limbs, some who have severe disfigurement because of what has happened to them. But yes, there are far more of us than what most people would probably suspect.
What would you say to those who say that it's a question of providing women with the free choice on whether they go ahead with the pregnancy or not, and therefore abortion should be available?
The words choice and right are very interesting in today's world. And what I always like to point out to people is, over 64% of women identify being coerced into their abortion. So it isn't their choice. Someone else makes that choice for them or puts them in that position that abortion is the only option made available to them. I think that's important to identify and talk about, that if we use the word choice, in reality, very few women have much of a choice. When we, again, look at statistics, the predominant number of women identify lack of support, lack of resources, concerns about education, employment. Those are reasons that you will find women having abortions. So where is the choice in that for women? I'm an advocate for true choices and support to be provided to women.
In 1983, the people of Ireland voted to amend our constitution to add a clause, you know, giving equal right to life to the mother and the unborn child. What are your feelings on Ireland's Eighth Amendment?
I think it's incredibly important. The Eighth Amendment has served an amazing purpose in protecting the lives of children like me. You know, I've heard so many stories while we've been here in Ireland about the lives that have been saved by the Eighth Amendment over the years. And, you know, not only does it protect the dignity and worth of women and children, but I think what's important is that it gives you a culture of life. You know, I come from the United States, where we have 1.2 million abortions a year. And I think sometimes when people look upon the culture of the United States, they're a bit curious about it because things have happened in the United States. And we now are a culture that, by and large, doesn't respect life on so many levels. And so I think the Eighth Amendment has given you this culture that, by and large, allows women and children's lives to be respected. And I think there's great value in that.
Abortion continues to be a hotly debated topic in the US, and like, you're an abortion survivor in a situation where I suppose the regime hasn't changed, or the laws in relation to abortion haven't changed hugely since you were born in the 1970s. How do people respond to your story?
By and large, people respond very positively to my story. I think most people, you know, whether it's in the United States or somewhere else, I find it a bit fascinating that somebody like me can survive what they did. And so I think most people find great encouragement, I think, in my life. But yet at the same time, yes, there would be people in the United States who don't want to acknowledge my life or the lives of people like me. And, you know, as hard as that can be sometimes, I know that that is because, I guess, seeing someone like me face to face goes up against what they want to believe about life and abortion. By and large, most people are very supportive.
Finally, Melissa, what is your life like now, and what are your hopes for the future?
My life is, I guess I would say it's normal. I can joke about that because in some respects it's not normal at all, because one minute I can be home playing with my kids and cleaning the house, and the next moment I get called to go testify before the U.S. Congress. So that's probably not normal, but it is very normal in the respect that, you know, I'm married and I have two children and I get to live life. Just like everyone else. And I'm so grateful for every moment that I have. I think, you know, my hope for the future would be that I wish that I didn't have to do what I do, to be honest. I mean, I love what I do. I love advocating on behalf of life. I love getting to glorify God. But in reality, I guess there's a part of me that wishes that I didn't have to do this, that I didn't have to have these conversations, that lives could be protected and respected no matter what. But you know, my hope is that I just continue to do whatever God is calling me to do in the greatest capacity that I have.
Abortion survivor and human rights campaigner Melissa Oden, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.